Glenn, how exciting a time is this for Canadian basketball? That we've never seen depth like this before. This is a big time tournament. How excited are you to see this team in action in a couple months for real?
Well, it's going to be very interesting if you're a basketball fan. You know, we've got more NBA players from Canada in the NBA now than any other country, and it's exciting to see this talent. But I think what's also interesting is we have a lot of other players that don't play in the NBA that given a break or a chance here, they would be NBA players, and you see some of those players on our roster as well. So we have a great depth of talent, and it's going to be up to Nick Nurse and Rowan to assemble a team that's not just the most talented team, but the best team that plays together and assigning roles and making sure that they're all tough competitors, because that's what's going to take in a FIBA competition.
You mentioned the name Nick Nurse, and he's obviously the head coach of Canada's team. When was the idea of potentially having him lead the Canada into this big tournament?
Well, we started discussions, I think, before the regular season ended. We came to a sort of a handshake deal before the playoffs began, and we agreed with everyone that we needed to keep this under wraps until the Raptors playoff run ended, because we didn't want to create any distractions for Nick or the team. So we sort of sat on it for a while, and it went for a long time, which was great.
Definitely. Not bad having a guy who just won an NBA championship as your head coach. How important is that for the program? Because we know in the past some players didn't want to play for Canada, and I don't want to say it was a disrespect factor, but I think there's a lot of legitimacy having a guy like Nick Nurse being the head coach of the national team, no?
Yeah, it's a great thing, but I think first thing I would like to say is that I don't think why some players didn't want to play was because of the coach. I think Jay and the other coaches that coached in the qualifying windows were all great and did a very good job. So I don't think that was a factor in some people not playing. But at the same time, to have Nick involved, first of all, he's such a great guy and such a good person and so wonderful to work with and has a great way about him, and he's been out recruiting like a college coach right now, trying to make sure that the players understand how much they're wanted and how respected they are, and what Nick's vision is for the team and how he sees using them if they do make the team. So I think that's been a great addition, and the work he's done in that part has been awesome.
We obviously don't want to talk too much about the past, because it's an exciting present and future for Canadian basketball, but what do you think were some of those factors why the big names didn't want to play for their country?
Well, it's not a question of not wanting to play. Like, each player is an individual. They have their own set of circumstances that they have to deal with. And we can't really know or even appreciate all of those issues that they go through. So they it's not that they don't want to play for the country. I think a lot of it is also, what is going on in their lives, both professional and personal, and where they may be at in terms of contracts or injuries or things of that nature. So every one of those decisions is personal to the player. As much as we'd want certain players to play, we just have to respect their decisions and move on. And fortunately, we've got some other, really good players to fill in for those that are not playing.
How great is it to know that, in a situation like this, and you're qualifying for the Olympics, and I think the biggest thing is having players that want to be there. And sometimes it's nice to know that you can miss a player and not have your marquee guy show up, and still you still got a ton of players, a ton of inventory that you can use to go ahead and compete for this. Because tournament basketball is completely different than the regular season. And do you want to talk about some of the differences? Every game has the potential to be like game 7 of the NBA championship, and how important it is to have players that really want to play.
You're exactly. It's a passion play. If you're not out there to really give it your all and play with your heart, then you shouldn't be there, because these other players on these other countries are. And I don't think North Americans appreciate the importance of the World Cup or the World Championship in basketball. We always want to think about the Olympics, but in the world of basketball across the globe, the World Cup is bigger than the Olympic tournament. It's more difficult to win a medal in the World Cup than it is once you qualify for the Olympics, and that's because of the sheer numbers of competitions, and every point matters. So because it's a round robin tournament to begin the first two rounds, every point counts too. So often you'll wind up with the same score So the amount of points or point differentials matters a lot in terms of where you wind up being seated or even advancing.
Go ahead. You talk about the importance of the tournament. And I kind of equate it to the Olympics and the World Hockey Championships, because a lot of people in this country, we think of the Olympics first and foremost. But as the point you just made, in Europe, they take the World Hockey Championships really seriously. And this is a tournament potentially that the rest of the world takes a lot more seriously. And I hope this, with the exposure in this country and the United States, you just hope this tournament can reach that level of the Olympics.
Exactly. Yeah. And the rules are different, right? So you have your zone defenses. It's a more physical game in FIBA. The time is shorter. It's 10-minute quarters instead of 12-minute quarters like the NBA. There's offensive goaltending and defensive goaltending is permitted. And like I said, the referees have a much slower whistle, let's say. So it's a physical game. It's an emotional game. That's why it was important for us to get a coach that had both experience dealing with NBA players, but also had success at the international level. And there's a few people around that had that. So fortunately, one was right here in Toronto.
He's the president and CEO of Canada Basketball, former Raptors general manager Glenn Grunwald, joining us here on Good Show. It's Tim, it's George. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You talk about how difficult it is to win a medal at this tournament. What's the reasonable expectation for Canada?
Well, our goal is to win a medal and move on to the Olympics. And I think it's possible. Like, we have a very tough draw. We've got Australia first game, then Lithuania, two world basketball countries that have done very well. So that's the first round. And then Senegal is one of the better African countries. Our next round, we're probably playing France and Germany, two of the better European countries. So our work is going to be cut out for us. But if we have our players healthy and playing well together, we have as good a chance as anyone to get to the medal round. And then it's March Madness, right? It's a single elimination tournament, and fingers crossed that we play well in that game.
Can you talk about the importance of what it is to qualify for the Olympics? Obviously, you're in the Olympics, and that's the marquee venue, really, for sports in the world. But also what it means to you in terms of exposure, in terms of funding, as you guys continue to grow the game in Canada.
Well, like I said earlier, right, the Olympics are the most important things to North Americans, and to play in that tournament is great. When our women, I think, have played in the past three Olympics, and their ratings when they're on TV is as good as anything that's shown on the Olympics. So I know our men's team, if we were to qualify, would have similar exposure and benefit from that. And as you probably know, the funding of the government is designed to reward programs or sports that have a potential Olympic medaling opportunities. So the fact that our men have not qualified for the Olympics recently has hurt our funding, while at the same time our women benefit in terms of additional funding because they are potential medal contenders.
Glenn, we see a lot of people on social media tweet that, "I haven't seen so many basketball hoops go up in my neighborhood since the Raptors won the NBA championship." What lasting effect of this Raptors run do you think it will have in Canada on basketball in the next 20, 30, 40 years?
Well, it was a powerful experience, a very memorable experience for a lot of people, and particularly young people. And I think, I remember sporting events when I was a youngster and how they stick with me and how they may have influenced my choice in what I do and what I watch and what I follow. So I know it'll have a positive effect for basketball, whether it's kids playing basketball or following basketball or just people being more interested in the game and appreciating what a beautiful sport it is. So it's going to be a positive for a long time. And hopefully Canada basketball can continue to push that momentum forward.
Glenn, you knew this question was coming. We know that Andrew Wiggins is the biggest omission on the roster for Team Canada. What were the conversations like between his camp and yourself?
Well, I didn't have any direct conversations. Nick and Rowan talked to Rowan Baird, our general manager of the program, talked to Nick and his people, and it became pretty apparent after some preliminary conversations that this was not the right summer for him to participate. So you have to respect someone's decisions. I mean, our players are all volunteers. They don't get any money for participating. They're volunteering their time. And, literally millions of dollars of services are contributed to our program by our players. So we have to respect the value of what they're providing us and what it means to them. And so, like I said before, we're happy we have other alternatives and wish Andrew the best.
Was the team disappointed?
I don't know if disappointed is the word, but, you know, we would have liked him to participate. But again, we respect his decision and, you know, again, wish him the best.
Would you guys welcome him with open arms if he decided, if everything goes according to plan, you guys win a medal and qualify for the Summer Olympics, which we're all rooting for, would you welcome Andrew Wiggins with open arms to the Olympics?
Well, we have to see when that time rolls around, right? Right now, we're just focused on the World Cup. That's the challenge before us. And if we do well enough here, we'll then start worrying about the Olympics. Or if we don't do well enough here, we'll worry about qualifying for the Olympics in a qualifying tournament that'll take place next June.
How hard is it going to be to shape this roster? You got 29 guys coming in, probably 30 days together with I'm not sure how many exhibition games, but I know you have a general idea of who's going to be on your roster, but like how many spots are open? How are you guys going to go about forming this roster as you move ahead?
Well, it'll be, you know, I think they cuts are often made by the players themselves, and it'll become pretty apparent where things roll out. But like, you know, we do have some concern about the strength of our roster at the wing position. So that's one thing we'll have to worry about just in terms of depth. But I think we plan on taking 15 players with us to Australia for the exhibition tour there. We've got a 12-man roster for when the team actually starts competing in the World Cup. And we'll have to, you know, figure it out to make sure that we're not, you know, we're peaking our players at the right time and providing the right training program for them so that they're not overtaxed prior to the actual tournament beginning. So, yeah, we start on August 7th here in Toronto at a game against the Nigerian team for an exhibition game at Ryerson's Manami Center. And tickets are going fast, so if fans are interested in coming to see the national team play here in Toronto, they better get on the phone to the Matami right now.
Absolutely. Glenn, before I let you go, we saw how crazy NBA free agency is and these short-term deals and the amount of player movement in the league. Do you ultimately think it's good for the league, or do you like guys spending, you know, the majority of their career on the same team, building up those rivalries? Do you like the way free agency is shaped in the NBA?
I do. I think it's good. I think, you know, the NBA is 12 months a year now, and the soap opera that goes on around free agency and stuff like that is, I think, good for the sport, and it gives teams an opportunity to improve and jump to the top. You know, as disappointing as it was for Kawhi to leave in Toronto, I know that you know, Masai is looking forward to the challenge of building another championship team, and notwithstanding his departure, we know that they're going to have a good team this year. The Raptors will be definitely in the playoff hunt, and we'll see where they wind up at the end of the season.